Page 51, I believe, in this book. I believe that's where we stopped last week. I have done, and if someone needs a book, I think there's one still back on the post in the back. If you need one, you did not bring yours with you, but be happy to. I just gave Glenn and Marsha one. I knew they didn't have one with them, so there's one more back there if somebody would like to go pick it up. Good to see everyone out this morning. I really thought that Margaret was not going to be with us today. She said she wasn't, but then she said I could just ignore the fact that she was here today. But I'd rather pick on her a little bit. So anyway, I'm glad Margaret's here too. Bottom of page 51 is where we stopped the last week. We were talking about, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. The whole lesson is on, keep thy heart with all diligence. And we said we need to keep our heart for various reasons. Why is that? It's easy to lose, isn't it? Sometimes it's easy to lose our focus. Sometimes it's easy to lose our direction. Sometimes it's easy to get sidetracked. And yet if we can hang on to those things, and that can keep God in our hearts, know what's important, make the right choices. That certainly helps a long way to make those right choices. And then we talked about there that criminals often are very smart people, but as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. And so we have to watch that as well. And Paul talks to us about thinking on things that are truth and honest and just and pure and lovely and of good report. How many of you have looked at the news in the evenings and it's just so depressing, isn't it? We just always talk about the bad things that are happening. And so, of course, a lot of newscasters have picked up on the fact they want to end on a good note, so they pick something good that they can present. But the whole news all the way through is just negative, negative. It's a hard thing for us to think on things that are pure, that are lovely, of good report. But if we do that, our countenance and our outlook should be a whole lot better, would it not? Bottom of that page, Proverbs 4:4. He taught me also and said unto me, let thine heart retain my words, keep my commandments and live. Retain, or to hold fast. He taught me also. These are the things that Solomon is saying, that he has been taught by God to retain his words, keep his commandments. That's one of the reasons we try to have like Sunday school classes like this, or Wednesday night classes, so that we can teach people to continue to hear the word, the gospel, and retain things. You know what the word, the things we do with the young kids here on Sunday evening. I can remember when I was their age and learned those songs. I can still sing all of those songs. It's a good thing. They will never forget that all their life. I don't care what they do. I don't care if somebody makes a wrong turn somewhere down the road. Those things, those songs and those lessons are going to be in their mind for the rest of their life. And they'll always have an opportunity maybe to turn. One of those good things, he has taught me to retain or to hold fast his words. That's what we're trying to do. A lot of times that's what elders are trying to do with Sunday school classes and other things like our summer series and so forth, is to present things to a congregation that where they will be able to retain and keep that renewed in their mind. I remember a lady that went to church with down in the Aiken congregation many, many years ago. She just never attended on any Sunday school class, yet she was there fairly faithful. And I asked her one day, why do you not come to Sunday school class? She said, well, I'm an elder's daughter. I've heard all that before. And I thought, wow, I can't believe she said that. I just can't believe that was her attitude. I don't believe that I know even studying to teach a class like this, I pick up something every time. I don't believe I've ever been in a class where other people were teaching that I didn't pick up something else, that something that I hadn't heard before. Well, there's Shirley. Look at that. You know, I mentioned she was hiding behind Eddie there, but I mentioned here a couple of weeks ago, maybe some of those things that we were in our life, if we had a service review, an annual service review or something like that, that it might be a good thing for us to review. And then Shirley brought out a point I had never thought of it before. The fact that sometimes when trials and tribulations come our way, maybe that is a service review. Gives us an opportunity to reflect on what we've been doing. How well have we done? I hate to say it, Shirley, but that was a brilliant idea. But see, different perspectives that people learn that we can work on when we keep these things in our heart and in our mind, and when we can meet together and study. We want to continue the renewing of our mind so that we may prove what is good and acceptable. You know, I've worked in a nuclear business nearly all my life, and one of those things that you do in the nuclear business is you test and you train and you test and you train. And you every so often, whether we needed it or not, we go back through a class and we go back over the same material again. That's so we can make sure it's fresh in our mind and we can retain it and we can train for things so that we can react the right way when something goes wrong. As we as Christians, should we not do the same thing? And I believe that's what we're doing. That's what you are doing when you come and when you participate in a class like this. Oh, sure. We need more than that, but that's one of the ingredients. What are your thoughts about needing more?
You spend a lot of time at home or in front of the television and you could spend some of that time in the book.
Okay. Instead of just watching TV and the time we spend at home, we spend some time in the book. Well, Ann Mason was talking, and I were talking about just as she walked in back while back, and Ann is not always here. She's taking care of others, but she wanted a copy of this book, so I mailed her a copy of the book. And she, just like a lot of you have mentioned, you enjoy going through this during the week. You can take a look at a page or two and study some of this and go look up the scriptures. It helps tie things together. It's a good thing for us to do. And it's something that we can do during the week that helps us a good bit. And we want to look forward to doing some more things like this in the future, and so we're going to keep looking at it and talking to other, Steve and Ken and Joel and I are going to look at some other things that we might be doing for classes here in the near future. Something along this same line. But worship every first day of the week. You know, some people say you don't need to do that. We don't need to be here every first day of the week. And you know, it's a lot of people I've heard it said in my life, maybe, well, it gets boring. Or take the Lord's Supper every week. What good is that? Just if you do it quarterly, that's good. You can focus on it better. But at the same time, you know, a lot of times we need some things renewed. And I believe that's what God is looking at for us to do, to renew in our mind on a daily basis what we are doing. Like other written matter that you and I have, if we work in a certain area of maybe working in computer programming or something like that, we're going to have to stay up on top of what's going on in the industry, are we not? We're going to have to stay on top of what we have learned about our job. Unless it's something we use every day, we tend to lose it. I go back and listen, think about the calculus and differential equations and things like that I studied once upon a time. I couldn't do any of that anymore. Now, I can go back and find out where the laws and the properties are written and can brush back up on it if I need to, but it's not something you use every day. We don't even use algebra every day. Most of us don't. But we know how to maybe go back and find that. We don't always use everything we learn in the Bible every day. But if we've been exposed to it, if we've studied it and worked at it, we can go back and find it, can we not? It may take us a few minutes or something to do that. Peter spoke of those things that had forgotten, those who had forgotten that they were purged from their old sins. And sometimes we can get, we can lose our focus and forget those very things. Look at the children of Israel. How many times did they fall off the wagon and then try to get back on and beg for God's forgiveness, beg that God would get them out of this situation, and then within what appeared to be weeks, months, fall off that wagon again. So it happens to a lot of us. It's easy for us to do that. Sometimes it's a sad situation. Number five, on page 52, a what heart?
Mary.
A merry heart maketh a cheerful countenance. But by sorrow of heart the spirit is doth good, but by sorrow of heart the spirit is broken. Then also in Proverbs 17:22, a merry heart doth good like a medicine, but a broken spirit drieth the bones. How often do you bump into somebody who just has that bubbly personality that just brings light into the room? That's one of the things I like about you here and this congregation. There's a lot of that here. A lot of people have a good spirit, a good bubbly spirit. Gloria and I were at a Cracker Barrel over at Hamilton Place a couple of months ago. I don't remember the girl's name, but she was a waitress for us. She just, it was just instant. She had that bubbly spirit. She was just as happy, and it just oozed out of her pores of her skin. It was a pleasure to talk with that young lady. Time to, well, we learned a little bit about her. She was, but her personality was just, it was a bubbly personality that was open, that was just enjoyable to be around. Rare thing for someone who's a waitress or a waiter in a restaurant, or some. But well, if she had just been wanting a good tip, I don't believe I understand that. But she got a good tip from me. But but I enjoyed just her personality, just being there in her presence. I would like to know more about that lady and see. But, you know, that's one of the things that I like. There's a lot of people who have visited here who have left and told us one of the things they like about it is the personality of this congregation and the things that you do in meeting people, in greeting people, in making them feel comfortable here. Those things are critically important. And it's one of those things that we can do fairly easy. It's not a whole lot of effort. But at the same time, it's a good thing to do. a merry heart maketh a cheerful countenance. It's good like a medicine. You know, when you are facing some tribulation and things in your life, sometimes that attitude can make all the difference in the world, too. We can go at it with a sour attitude, a depressed, defeated attitude, or we can be happy about it. We can go about it with a positive attitude. It's sort of a choice that we have an opportunity to make. Acts 8, verse 39, talks about the Ethiopian eunuch. And after he was baptized, he went on his way, how?
Rejoicing.
He was happy. His sins had been forgiven. He had a new day in front of him. This, and like, much like what even the song that Brad led us in as we started here. Each day following one's conversion should be, we should be able to say, this is the day which the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. In Psalms 118, verse 24, the word rejoice is repeatedly used. In the Old Testament and New Testament, the word joy and rejoice is repeatedly used. Tom, you got a comment?
People that seem to be more
Well, if somebody's sitting right in front of you that has done that. I can remember when she first went to work, especially at various places, she was just very introvert and very quiet and easygoing. When we first got married, she was that way. And then she started working with some people at the credit union. And her boss saw this in her, but she enjoyed helping people. Well, by the time she left the credit union, we've got little old guys who've got money in the credit union. They come by to see her boss and talk and sit down. They want to come in. They want to spend more time with Gloria and sit over there and get a hug and a cup of coffee from Gloria before they want to go talk to Ed. And she got where she enjoyed that. She really enjoyed that. And so it's possible, but I understand what you're saying. A lot of people are introverted and don't feel comfortable. It's very very difficult to get out of that mindset that way. And it's no harm if you're in that mindset, but at the same time, okay. Glory. Okay, that's very good. Good point. There's other ways to do it, like send somebody a card. I guess you could even make a phone call, but most introvert people do not want to make a phone call either. But you could send a card or a note, something like that. That's a good way to think about it. And there are some people who make that as one of those things they try to do, where they may not try to meet everybody that's visiting here, but yet they'll send some cards. I can remember there's one lady in the congregation that sends us a card maybe every other week or something like that. And it's always a happy face and a smile and stuff like that. So there's other ways. That's a good point. Proverbs, the second chapter and verse 2, chapter 23 and verse 12. The first reference teaches us about applying a heart to what? To understanding. And the second one applies to apply thy heart to instruction. And Solomon has already told us, that wisdom is one of those key things. Go get wisdom and knowledge and hold on to it and work with it. Wisdom would not be much if it was not, wisdom would not be of much good if it's not applied. It's like a remedy that we would know of but we don't use. A wise heart applies both understanding and instruction. It knows and does. A wise heart knows to do things and goes and gets them done. Make sure that happens. A wise heart must learn to refrain from those things which would lessen its ability to be pleasing to God, is the comment he makes up here. A wise Christian would do those things. And I think most of us try very hard to try to apply our lives in such a way that we'd be pleasing unto God. Proverbs 23:17, top of page 53. Let not thy heart envy sinners, but be thou in the fear of the Lord all the day long. That's a tough one to do, isn't it, sometimes? Let thy heart not envy sinners. When we look at people in the world that they appear to be successful, they've got everything they need. They don't have to go out and ponder where I've spent this, $19.95 for this or $17.95 for it over here or something. They just go buy it. That'd be nice, wouldn't it? Most of my life I've had to struggle with that decision. Was this worth that money or not worth that money? And yet there's a lot of people who haven't just go get it. That's no problem for them. And then maybe we look at other people in the world who are successful, maybe politically, maybe socially, maybe financially. And we look and say, well, if you ever been out on a boat around the lake, here in other places, the people that build houses out there on that water, financially, those folks are fairly successful, I would think. However, now it may be, What happens with a lot of people, they look successful, but, pardon?
Head over heels in debt.
Yeah, I had a young man that worked for me at Sequoia that used to come nearly every week and say, do you have anything I can do this weekend? And we worked a lot of overtime trying to get that plant online. Do you have anything I can do this weekend? I need to work a little extra, a few extra hours. And a lot of times I did, and he was a good worker. I learned he was so far in debt that if he didn't work overtime nearly every month, I mean like every week, he could not pay the minimum payment on his credit cards. And I thought to myself, wow. And then he looked successful. He and his wife lived up on Signal Mountain. Her parents owned a business there, and they were doing right well, I thought. And yet I found out that he was just so far in debt that he needed hours of overtime just to make his minimum payment on credit cards. And I thought, that's so sad. I don't want to envy that person. How about this about a sinner? If he is a sinner and he's not converted from his ways, what's going to happen? The end is not good, is it? So why would you envy somebody who, even though financially or in the world in all appearances is successful, yet they're on the wrong path toward eternity? That's not an enviable place to be. That's not an enviable place to be. He finishes that out with Ecclesiastes, a couple of things in there. Though a sinner do evil 100 times and his days be prolonged, yet surely I know that it shall be well with it. Surely I know that it shall be well with them that fear God. Even though someone is successful, he does evil 100 times and he gets away with it, someday he's going to pay for it. Someday he's going to answer for that work. Ecclesiastes 11:1, rejoice, O young man, in thy youth, and let thine heart cheer thee in the days of thy youth, and walk in the ways of thine heart, and in the sight of thine own eyes. He's almost being satirical here. But know thou that for all these things God will what? Bring thee, or bring you, into judgment. You know, it's one of those things that I've mentioned before, one of the most scary verses in the entire Bible to me is that one where we're told that we will give an account for every idle word. And you and I don't have that memory, do we? I don't. What I said and did 20, 30 years ago, even last week, some of those things escape us, right? But God can draw back and pull out every single word and things that we've ever done if he wants to. That's a different thing that we're dealing with. It's a fearful thing for us to think about that. And yet I think from the standpoint of being a rhetorical type question, Solomon is making this. Say, young man, go ahead if you like. You know, let thy heart cheer thee in the days of thy youth, walk in the ways that you see best. What else we've told about the heart and the ways that we go? There is a way that what? Seemeth right. But what's the end of it? Death. That's the end of it. And yet we're told that if we'll let God guide our steps and keep our steps with God, and our thoughts with him will be okay. Jesus wants his people to try to win their enemies. And he's talked about this down here at the very bottom. Proverbs 24:17. Rejoice not when thine enemy falleth, and let not thy heart be glad when he stumbleth. That's a hard one too, isn't it? That's, you know, someone who's out to get you, an enemy, and yet we don't want to be rejoice when he falls. We don't want to be glad when he stumbles. Wait a minute, I'd like to see them not be successful. But what does the Christian want to do? Again, it's kind of like what we said about the about people who seem to have a great life, but yet they live in sin. It appears to be a great thing, but what's the end? Death. Without doing God's will, face the Lord in the judgment unprepared. One of the things that you and I are trying to do, even here today, as we're in this class, is to prepare ourselves, to keep ourselves on track, on focus, to be prepared. Jesus wants us to love our enemies. He wants us to return good for evil. It's a choice. It's a hard choice sometimes. I think about a lot of times, it's like Joseph. Joseph had a lot of bad, but he always returned good for evil. Choice. But it's a choice that we make and something we can live with, I believe, if we're careful and work with it. Top of page 54, please. Proverbs 6:25. Lust not after her beauty in thine heart, neither let her take thee with her eyelids. Solomon's given advice to his son, advice to us also. He's speaking of the evils that someone can be doing in our life. Particularly, in this case, a strange woman. He's talking to the heart that's doing the lusting and that type of thing. And we may have talked about this a little bit last week about what ad agencies are doing in our life and what they try to do. They are struggling to get us to desire and lust after that new car, right? Look at the bombardment that we get every week in automobile sales. Every week. And yet a lot of successful people, I remember reading a book years ago when I was a teenager, The Millionaire That Lives Next Door. I looked at that and I thought, well, it's an interesting book. The millionaire that lived next door, he never bought a new car. He always bought a car that was like 2 years old. And I remember Gloria's boss down at the credit union down in South Carolina. I don't reckon Ed's ever bought anything brand new. He buys a car or a truck or a tractor or a boat, camper, whatever. It's 2 or 3 years old, always. Somebody else has taken that depreciation. You got to be smart and know what you're looking at. Maybe you don't know a car that well, but you could. But anyway, the idea was about that millionaire who lived next door. He didn't go out and spend his money on a new car. He didn't go out and spend his money on a new camper or boat. He was smart about what he did and was resourceful in those types of things. And I think a lot of times the car ads, they're trying to get us to buy a brand new car. They're trying to get us to buy this drug on television. They try to get us to buy this new idea on not available in stores, but for $19.95, we'll send it to you. No, it's not that these products are not good products, but at the same time, you know, what are we getting our hands into? What are we getting? They're trying to get us to lust after them, to desire that item, and go out and spend our money on it. Again, Joseph and Potiphar's wife. I thought about this a lot during the lesson here. Don't you know that Potiphar's wife came after Joseph with flowery words and batting her eyelashes and whatever else to try to entice him? And yet Joseph resisted that. But that's the type of thing that Solomon's talking about here. If one keeps a heart with all diligence, he will have to control his lust. And you and I have to do the same type of thing. With her, verse 21, with her much fair speech, she caused him to yield. With the flattering of her lips, she forced him. These types of things happen to us out here in the world. Look at what politicians try to do with flattery words and talk to us about just exactly what we want to hear. Look what happened with Samson and Delilah. She enticed Samson to finally give up the secret that he had that gave him, made him all his strength. And look at the consequences. Look at what it cost him. Will it cost you and I something similar to that in our life if we're not careful? I think it will. Paul advised Timothy in 2 Timothy 2, verse 22. Good advice even for you and me today. To do what about youthful lusts? Flee them. Flee youthful lusts. But follow after righteousness. You know, how do you do that? How would you flee after youthful or not so youthful lusts? How would you do that? But especially, how does a young person do that?
Stay with other youngsters who are students of the Bible.
Okay, if they can stay with students of the Bible, people like that, they can stay, hang with those people instead. That's true. That's part of it. What else? Anybody teach them a little bit? Bounce something off of you before they make that decision? Do that? I can even see that with kids that are growing up. And one of the things I've always wished, and they didn't do that, and in at least one case, I think the kids are paying for it too. For instance, if you're going to buy a house, go pick out three houses as a young person, young family, okay? Go pick out three houses you really like. And then bring your parents in and say, let them. And just, you know, go get somebody like Gail and let her go look at the house and give you some things you haven't thought of. May just put that, there'll be things that you walk through the house you wouldn't see. But someone experienced, someone who is bought and sold a few houses, would spot this in your 20s. Maybe look. All of us like to coach our grandkids on things like that. Not just other things. Make choices in their life. One of the things we're dealing with right now with Charlie in Knoxville is those choices in life. And when you make choices, there's consequences. But teenagers and young people don't always see those consequences and choices and the end result down there like we do they? Yet if they would look at us and flee youthful lust from the standpoint of not just, he's talking about maybe sexual lust or something like that, but also just the desire to do things, we could coach our young people into a much better life, could we not? I believe it's quite possible, and it's something that we could maybe try to do. He finishes up that verse, but follow after righteousness, faith, charity, peace with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. Now that's what Brother Groves was talking about. Get with those people who do these things and try. That's what we're trying to do with things like Church Raiders on Wednesday nights. Have our teenagers get with other teenagers in other congregations where they can understand that they're not the only teenagers trying to live the right life. They're not the only people in the world struggling with the things that we struggle with on a daily basis. But there are other people in the world doing it. That's a good thing for them. They can also develop friendships there that may last their entire life. We get together quite often with we call it the Cabin Bunch. Matter of fact, here on the 8th of November, we're supposed to travel down to Athens, Alabama, to have lunch with these folks. Now, one couple's coming from Murfreesboro. One member of the group is coming from Birmingham, and two of us from Chattanooga. We're going to meet there and have lunch. We've been good friends and buddies ever since we were in college, met one another in college. And we get together two or three times a year, you know, still. And very, very close inner circle of friends and the folks that we can trust, the folks that we depend on, folks that we know so very well. And it's with those people, they have tried, we met them at church. We stayed faithful. They've stayed faithful through their life. We enjoy being with them. But to do those things, It helps us to stay away from other things that might draw our focus away from the Lord. He says, call on the Lord out of a pure heart. A pure heart, an honest heart, sincere. Let me ask one other thing before we close this lesson out. When somebody's talking to you, can you tell if they're lying? Not always, but can't you a lot of times? There's just something about the way they present it, something about the way they say, something about their look, something about their body language that you have learned by experience through the years to distrust what's being said. And that's, you know, I think about it sometimes. Do you reckon God has that same capability? I know he does. Look at Ananias and Sapphira. They tried to lie, but God knew about it. But it's one of those things I think we can look at. I want to leave with one thing. We'll get some kids in here, but we're about to get, keep thy heart with all diligence. I think one of the things he talks about here also is we keep in their heart is to not faint. Sometimes it's easy for us as Christians to get faint. Sometimes it's easy for us to say, you know, I've all these years I've done this, I've done this, I've tried to do the right thing, and yet, you know, where's it got me? You know, I'm not successful like this person over here. But we need to pay attention to some things here about fainting. Luke 18:1, and he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. You and I need to pray and not faint. Be careful about fainting. Galatians 6:9, and let us not be weary in well-doing. And sometimes we can get weary in well-doing. We've been Christians for years and years and years. Sometimes we can be weary. For in due season we shall reap if we faint not. And in Isaiah 40, verse 31, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Thank you for your participation. Next week we'll go to lesson 9.